We'll turn to the book of Haggai, and we'll turn to chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 15 to verse 19. Haggai chapter 2, verse 15 to verse 19. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat, for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hand. Yet he turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the wine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his precious word. We considered earlier that from verse 10 to verse 19, we have the displeasure of God, and we have the rebuke of his displeasure, and we said that it is the same like you see in chapter 1, the displeasure of God, the rebuke of his displeasure, and then we see the reason of his displeasure, we see the review of his displeasure, and fourthly, the result of his displeasure. This we see from verse 10 to verse 19 in chapter 2. We considered last week on the rebuke of his displeasure. That was the same thing that we saw in chapter 1. The Lord speaking to these people as this people instead of my people. Now this we considered was after they had begun to do the work of the house of God. In chapter 1, we saw from verse 12 that they turned back and they began to do the work of the house of God. And God was indeed dealing with them and helping them. But when we come to chapter 2, after the first 10 verses, verse 10 to verse 14, there we considered the displeasure of God and how God was now speaking to them as this people again. And then we saw that not only was it this people, he was also calling them as this nation. Apart from what we saw last week, when we look at the reference of the word this nation, that also is a rebuke. You know, when we look at the Old Testament, when we look at the book of Isaiah or Ezekiel and those books of the prophets, we see that God refers to them as a nation when he is upset with them, when God is displeased with them, when they have sinned and gone away from God, God refers to them as this nation. The only way he has called them as nation is in Exodus when he refers to them as a holy nation. But otherwise, when he calls them as this nation, then he is referring to them in his displeasure. Then we saw the reason of his displeasure. Verse 11 to verse 14. And we saw that firstly they isolated or ignored the word of God or the law of God. Secondly, we saw that they were inconsistent with the character of God. And thirdly, we saw the indifference of the people of God. We saw that in case of isolation of the word of God, in verse 11, he was asking the priest, it was concerning the law. So we see how they ignored the word of God. The priests were supposed to be teaching them. So instead of teaching them, they left them to do things as they liked. And therefore, God was displeased with them. Then we saw that it was inconsistent with the character of God. We saw that God was referring them of things that were unclean. God is a holy God. And he expects that his people would be holy. We see that Apostle Peter quoting that in 1 Peter. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Why do God's people have to be holy? Because that is the character of God. God is holy, and therefore God expects that his people will be holy. He's telling us, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's quoted from Leviticus. We have that in Leviticus mentioned three or four times. So we as God's people, we need to live in the fear of holiness. Now not only God is holy. We saw that holiness becometh thine house of God. The holiness becometh his house. So his house also, all that is related to in his house ought also to be holy, because God is holy. So his character should be reflected in everything that is associated with God. His house is associated with him, and therefore his house has to be holy. His people are associated with him, and therefore his people have to be holy. We also considered from Psalm, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So our worship also needs to be holy, because we are offering it to a holy God. Then we considered the indifference of the people of God. And there we read that, so is every work of their hands, that which they offer there is unclean. Then we considered the work of their hands, that every work of their hands, they were not clean. And also, that which they offered were also not clean. So not only it depends on what I am. That's a question that we looked at. How does it matter how I am as long as I am doing the Lord's work? It's very important that those that are involved should be holy. We all are involved. There is no one who is exempted from the work of the house of God. That's what we considered in chapter 1 in our study. Every individual believer who is born into the house of God, into the family of God, all are involved in the work of the building of the house of God. It's not that it doesn't matter how I am. It does matter how I am. And not only is it what matters, how I am, but how I do also matters. Scripture doesn't permit us to do God's work as we like. There are lots of patterns and principles that we find in the Scripture, and it is essential that we know them and we do them accordingly. You remember God speaking to Moses, which is quoted in Hebrews. And God says to Moses, you know, make sure that you build the house of God or the tabernacle according to the pattern which I have shown to you. God was admonishing, in fact, Moses when he says, you make sure that everything that is made is according to the pattern that I have shown you. Now, who was making the tabernacle? Who built the tabernacle? The people, right? We read there in some of those people who have been given the gift to build the tabernacle. So they have been given gift of the Spirit of God. They were filled by the Spirit of God, and they did the work. So they didn't see the pattern. But the responsibility was given to Moses to ensure that these people who do the work, these people upon whom the Spirit of God came and began to do the work of the tabernacle, it was Moses who had to see that everything worked according to the pattern that was given. So it is not that it doesn't matter how I do, I can do it any way I like. It is not so. God has given us his patterns, his principles, his ways to us, that is revealed to us in the Scripture, and it is for us to know what we need to do. Now then we considered what could be the reasons. Because in Haggai, we don't see what is the uncleanliness that was there in their life. So we concluded, looking at some other scriptures, related scriptures of that period, to understand as to what could have been, possibly, what could have been the reasons. When considered one, it is disobedience in spite of encouragement, that we see in Zechariah in chapter 1, where God says about their disobedience. Secondly, we saw in Ezra in chapter 10 that they were unequally yoked with unbelievers, with strange people, with the nations, and they were married, and even the priests were married to the Gentiles or the people who lived in the land, and therefore they were asked to separate themselves. So that could have taken place. Thirdly, we saw from Nehemiah in chapter 5, there the people were complaining that they were without food and they borrowed from their fellow brethren. And their fellow brethren were taking interest from them. And when we look at chapter 5 in Nehemiah, there we see that these people became slaves. They had to sell their sons and their daughters in order to feed themselves and in order to pay the taxes of the land, they had to sell their children. And they became slaves. And there we read, when you look at Nehemiah chapter 5, you see how angry Nehemiah becomes. He became very angry when he saw that and when he heard that. The children of Israel, their daughters were already given as slaves. The land was already given away. And they were in such a state. And Nehemiah was angry about that. So it's possible that these people were not clean because they did not consider one another as God's own people and follow the law which God had given to them through Moses. Fourthly, it could have been, as we read in Malachi in chapter 1, that they were offering unclean sacrifices. This could have been the reasons. We do not know very specifically what was the uncleanliness, but I believe this could be some of those reasons where they were unclean. Also because in all these references, you see the involvement of priests in all these cases, and the question was addressed to the priests. Okay. I want to continue a few more thoughts on that line, the uncleanliness. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So it says, to be sanctified and meet for the master's use. You see, when the master would want to use us, we have to be fit to be used by the master. If we are not fit, then our master will not be able to use us even as he would have liked to use us. So we need to be sanctified. We need to be vessels unto honor. And when we are, then we are prepared in order to do the work of God. So it's not that, my life has got nothing to do with what I do. My life is my private business, and the Lord's business is another business, and I can be what I want in my private life, and then I can still do the Lord's business. That's not what the scripture teaches us. Purge, and then you are prepared to work. I want to take your thoughts to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth and chapter 3, in verse 3 and verse 4, we see there Naomi telling to her daughter Ruth, after Ruth worked in the field of Boaz and found the favor of Boaz, she comes back to her house. Then Naomi tells Ruth, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. And then when we come to verse 4 in the last part, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. You see, there are 5 steps that we see here. Wash, anoint, raiment, get down, and then he will tell you what you should do. Now, these are the steps that we need to have in our Christian life in order to do that which he has told us to do. In chapter 1 of Haggai, in verse 8, there the Lord said, what did the Lord say? Go to the mountain, bring wood, and build. That's the command of God. And that's what these people did. Now when you come to chapter 2, he says, ye are unclean. All the works of your hand, they are unclean. So if you have to do that which he has told you to do, there is certain steps that needs to be followed. I said last week, it is not such that the work that we can do, when we decide one day that I'm going to stop this and I'm going to start this. Well, the decision is good, but we need certain steps to be followed. And that's what we see there in the book of Ruth. And that is to wash thyself. Now, I'm going to give you 5 headings to that, which I had in a message of that, just to bring your thoughts to that. Firstly, he says, be freshly cleansed. In our Christian life, when we take decisions for the Lord, we need to know that we need to be freshly cleansed. Here was Ruth who went to Boaz. She was associated with Boaz. She came back home and now she's going to be sent back to him. And there Naomi says, be cleansed or wash yourself. Be freshly cleansed. We need to be freshly cleansed every time, every day, and every decisions that we take. We need to look into ourselves, and we have to apply the Word of God and wash ourselves with the Word of God. Be freshly cleansed. Secondly, be fragrantly consecrated. Anoint yourself. Why do you anoint? And what would have been the ointment? Oil. Apply the oil onto your body, onto your hair, or wherever oil is needed. So that, I'm not going to go into references. Oil is that which gives us the shine. Oil. The application or the work of the Spirit of God in our life. And that should be shown out. And that should be there in our lives. So applying the Word of God, washing ourselves, anointing ourselves, and then putting on the raiment is to be fitly clothed. The garments that we wear speaks about how people look at us. And that should be something that comes from within. How do people look at us? That we need to be fitly clothed. And fourthly, he says, be fully committed. Get thee down to the floor. Or to be completely surrendered to him. And fifthly, he says, be fully compliant or fully obey what he tells you. Now, this is the steps that is needed when we do the work of the house of God. When we want to do what he has told us to do, then we need to follow some steps. And if you don't do that, we may be doing it in defilement. And so we need to remember that in our Christian life, we need to be sanctified in our day-to-day lives. You remember David? That's another example I'd like to quote. David. David defiled himself with Bathsheba. And he married her. And he had a child of her. And what happened? The Lord was going to take away the child. The child was sick. And what did David do? He wept for the child. And then after he knew that the child was dead, you know what he did? What did he do? 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. You see the five steps to worship. He defiled himself and he saw the effect of his defilement. And then after that, when he came out from that, these are the steps that he followed. The same thing that we saw in the book of Ruth. He washed himself, he anointed himself, he changed his garment, and he came into the house of the Lord, and he worshipped. So, in Ruth, if you can call it for ministry, here you can say the steps when you come to worship the Lord. So we need to be cleansed from all defilement when we do the work of the Lord, and when we come into worship the Lord our God. That's the two most important things that we have in our lives, isn't it? As believers. To worship Him and to serve Him. To worship Him and to serve Him. That is two things that we have in the life of a believer. We saw in Gospel of John in chapter 12, we considered the picture of the worship of the church. Chapter 12, we considered that the first part is dealing with the worship of the church. There we see Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Lazarus was dead. He was now alive. That speaks about us who are dead and alive again. What was Lazarus doing? He was sitting at the table with the Lord. So here we are sitting at the table with the Lord. Right? That's the function that we have. We are seated with him at his table. And Martha, we read of her that she was serving. That's a service that we have to do. And Mary was, we saw that as a picture of worship. So we as believers, as the people of God, as the children of God, we have a function to serve the Lord. And we have a function to worship the Lord. And in these functions, we need to know that we have to wash afresh, anoint afresh, change our garments afresh. We need to get down to the floor. And we need to worship Him and we need to serve Him. So the third matter of the displeasure we consider is the review of His displeasure, right? That's exactly what we saw in chapter 1, the review of His displeasure. Look at verse 15. And now I pray you consider from this day and upward. Again, verse 18, consider now from this day and upward. So we saw that in the review, we have to have a close examination, a careful examination, and a complete examination. That's what we considered when we looked at chapter 1. So we have the same thing here. Here we see, I pray. He pleads. So it's something that God pleads with us, that we need to consider in our life. And when do we consider? Now from this day. We see that both in verse 15 and verse 18. Now, which is this period he's talking about? Consider your ways. We saw in chapter 1. Consider your ways. Which period is he talking about? Get verse 15 and verse 18 once again. We're looking only at the part of that. This day, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. And verse 18, from this day, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Which is the day? From which day? What is written here? From the day the foundation was laid. And what is the date? 24th day of the 9th month. So 24th day of the 9th month. So that is the day when they laid the foundation. Now, when did it start? 16 years back. They started it. And then it was left. And then Haggai had to come. And he spoke to them. And on the 24th day of the 6th month, that is chapter 1, verse 15, they once again began to do the work. Now, why I am saying this is, there is some significance in that portion if we examine these verses carefully. From the day of the 24th of the 9th month, to which day? From this day to which day? Verse 16 says, we are counting from verse 15, since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, they were but 10. So when is this period? He says, consider from this day, before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. So, and he was talking about in verse 18 as the 24th day of the 9th month. And he's saying that was the day when the foundation was laid. So that means the stone not laid upon stone is not referring to the work of the foundation. It is referring to the work of the building, of the balance of the building of the house of God. Now this is how I understand it. And there are various views, therefore there is some confusion over this portion. But the work of stone upon stone is referring to the building and not the foundation. And the foundation began some 16 years back, and they resumed on the 3 months ago. And on this day was that work completed, on the 24th day of the 9th month, verse 18. So he's talking from this day, and then he says, since those days were, it's in the past tense, right? It's in the past tense. Since those days were, so he's taking from today, okay, he's going backward. But when you look at that verse, I've not quoted the full verse here, it says, from this day upward. So normally you'll think that this day upward means from this day forward. But actually he's referring to this day. I mean, it says upward, he's saying, since those days. So the period is from the 24th of the 9th month to those days when they had a heap of 20 measures and such situation in their life. So now we need to know which is those days. Those days. Is he referring to those days that he referred to in chapter 1? In chapter 1 he talks about you sowed much and you reaped in little. We consider them in chapter 1. So is it referring to the period, some part of the period of those 16 years in the life of those people when they ignored and left the temple to be in waste? Was the prophet referring to that period? Many think, some think it is that period that he is referring to. Some people think that he is referring back to the same thing and the same judgment that took place. And here in chapter 2, the prophet is once again recalling the same judgment or the discipline of God, which is referred to in chapter 1. The prophet is once again recalling that in chapter 2. But I think that's not the answer to that. We look at verse 16 once again. Since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, they were but 10. When one came to the press fat or the wine press, for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, but they were but 20. Now the situations appear to be the same. But now look at what we read, we see in chapter 1. and verse 6. It's a period of sowing and reaping. In chapter 2, verse 1, we considered it was a feast of the tabernacle. That is the completion of the harvest. So is this period referring to that same period? Now I think it is not referring to the same period, but it is referring to the period from the time God said to do the work to the time of when He's speaking to them again. Or the period of around 3 months from they began to do the work of the house of God and to the time now when they completed the work of the house of God. The work in the sense of laying of the foundation of the house of God. So I have here a chart. Is that clear? Can you read it? Now this says, I took it from the net, the harvesting and ingathering based on modern agricultural practice in Israel. Just to have a little understanding of what really happened at that time. So you see, this is wheat, barley, oats, peas, chicken, chickpeas and lentils and vetch, whatever it is, yamey, flax, millet, grapes, figs, pomegranates and olives. Okay, these are the normal crop or the fruits in the land of Israel. And here you have March, April, May, June to November, the months in which these are harvested. I don't know how old this chart is, but we could reasonably think that this could have been something that over the years that is happening in that land. Now you see this wheat and barley. It is harvested, barley is harvested in April and wheat in May and oats in May and those kinds of things. We considered earlier when we studied on chapter 2 and verse 1 about the Feast of the Tabernacle. We considered what's the difference between the Feast of the Pentecost and the Feast of the First Fruit and what sheaf they brought in First Fruit and what they brought in the Day of Pentecost. Both the times they had to bring the first fruit. And what was it? We consider the difference. One was barley. The first fruit which we talk about is barley. And then it was the wheat. You see, barley is harvested in April and wheat is harvested in May. So you see that's the period of the Pentecost. And then when we look at June, July and August. Now, this period, the period of the ninth month is the month of December. Is the month of December. Now when you look at this place, September, October, November, or August, in September, October, November, you're going to have grapes, figs, pomegranates, and olives. Grapes, figs, pomegranates, and olives. Why am I talking about that? Why am I referring to only this? Okay. Well, look at, go back to verse 19. Haggai chapter 2, verse 19. What do you read there? Is the seed set in your barns? I set the wine, the fig tree, the pomegranates, and the olives. Okay, here they are. And this is the period of December, when the Lord is now speaking to them again. So these harvests are now just done. When did it start? In the month of September, say August and September it starts. Grapes are there even earlier. Okay, this thing starts mainly from the later part of that year. So he's not referring to the earlier period of those harvests that, you know, they sowed and they reaped in little. That God has already dealt with them in chapter 1. Now he's talking to this period, which is during the time that they began to do the work of the house of God, when they resumed the work. And after they resumed the work, what would they have thought? When you start doing the work of the Lord, what do you think? Now God will start blessing me. God will start blessing me. So this is the period when the seed that is laid in the heaps are processed. The earlier period, the harvested things, the grapes that are harvested are further processed. So that's why we refer to that period. This is referred to the period that follows. That period began to do the work of the house of God. That is from chapter 1 and verse 15 to this portion in chapter 2. 3 months they looked for results. They didn't find real results. And it is possible that they came and asked the priests, one reason may be possible, as to why there is no blessing. Why is it that we have started the work of the house of God and there is no blessing in my life? Why is it that now after God said, these things I did because of your disobedience, you left my house waste, now we have started working in the house of God, now the foundation work is going on, yet when now the harvest is come, which harvest? The harvest that is supposed to be coming after they began the work of the house of God, yet there when they see, What they are finding? They are not getting the yield which they thought. They were not getting the blessing which they thought they should be getting, which we rightly thought they should be getting. And so possibly they asked the question. And on the day when the foundation work was completed, here is the word of God that came through Haggai to the priest, and he asked them that question about uncleanliness. So that could be a possible reason why it was asked. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now this is covering only the period after they began doing the work of the house of God. That's the time when these fruits are harvested and these fruits are processed. We look at that again after some time. Now what are they to consider? They are to consider the state of affairs, what we saw in chapter 1. They have to consider the state of affairs of their life. And the state of affairs was what? The heap of 20, when they went, they found only 10. And they went to the vine, and they found it was much lesser than they expected. We'll look at that again. Secondly, they have to consider the blessing. Verse 19, it says, from this day, I will bless you. Now, in the past, we saw, consider your state of affairs of your life. Now, I'm going to look at that again. But not only consider this state of affairs, in this portion, it says in verse 19 in the last part, from this day I will bless you. So we need to also consider what the losses or the difficulties that we are going through. But we also need to consider in our life the blessings that we receive from God. We have that hymn, isn't it? Count your blessings, name them one by one. So we need to have a counting to consider and to not only to evaluate in our own lives, but also to see how God has dealt with me in His blessings to me also. We need to consider that. Do we really get His blessings? If we don't get His blessings, then we need to see, examine ourselves as to why God's blessings are not there in our life, as to why God's blessings are not there in our assembly. This is something that we need to examine ourselves. The fourth thing is the result of His displeasure. The result of His displeasure, in chapter 1 we had how many divisions? We have two. One is the disappointment of the people, and two, the discipline of God. So we look at the disappointment of the people. Verse 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yeah. As yet the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree, hath not brought forth. What is the disappointments in this? In chapter 1, what are the disappointments that we have? Lack of fruitfulness, lack of satisfaction, lack of refreshing, lack of warmth, and lack of resources. Okay, here you have verse 19. Today is a project work. Project work. So you are going to involve yourself. Now fit this into this. Fruitfulness, satisfaction, refreshing, warmth, resources. Normally match the following. When you give what you know, first you just match it, right? You are 100% sure. Okay, let's see which one you think is immediately you can say. Look at what we have in chapter 1. Lack of fruitfulness is what? You sow and bring in little. And lack of satisfaction is you eat and you're still hungry. You're not full. In lack of refreshing, you drink and you're not full. Lack of warmth is you're clothed and you're not warm. Resources, you earn wages and you put in the purse of holes. Any of that you can connect here? You can connect wine to refreshing. Can we? Okay. Then fig. No, Lord was hungry and he looked at the fig tree. So fig you can connect with eating. So that's lack of satisfaction. Okay. Look at the other three that is left. We have the pomegranate, we have the olive, and we have the seed yet in the barn. Seed is in the barn. Barn is what? Storehouse. Seed in the barn. So that is what? Lack of resources. We consider that, isn't it? That your granaries may be full, we consider that. So we have two only left. One is fruitfulness, and the other is warmth. So what can be considered as fruitfulness? Pomegranate can be connected to fruitfulness. And olive to warmth. Olive is an oil that is used for cooking, it is used for lighting, You need the oil that is needed that keeps you warm. So lack of fruitfulness is pomegranates. Second is the lack of satisfaction, the fig. And thirdly, the lack of refreshing, the wine. And the lack of warmth is the olive. And the lack of resources, the seed in the barn. We have already considered this topic in our first chapter, so there is no need to go into those thoughts once again. You have to go back and look at what we had considered at that time. What does this actually mean? What do you mean by there is no pomegranates and fig and wine and olives and the seed in the barn? Now, there is a lot of significance attached to it, and I'm not going to look at it now. But look at Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. There we read, the wine is dried up. This is again in case of judgment, discipline. The wine is dried up. And the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. So what does this mean? When there is lack of these fruits, that simply means there is lack of joy in our lives. When we don't heed to God's word, when we don't walk in His ways, when our life are defiled, there can never be joy in our life. There can be never joy within ourselves. You can show and smile and shake hands with believers. You can smile and be good with the others in the society. But you will not have joy in our life. That's what will be robbed away from our life. The joy of salvation, as David says, the joy of salvation will be removed from us when we don't walk in His ways, when we live life that is defiled before God. Because joy is withered away. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 8. Moses now has come to the end of the journey. And then he recalls all the life that they have lived. And then he is now promising to them the land that is before them. And there Moses says, a land of wheat and barley, that's the grains. And the wine and the fig tree and the pomegranates. A land of oil, olive and honey. There's only the honey that is not there. In the portion in the book of Haggai, the rest of the things are there as it is. This is what was promised to them. This is what was promised to the people of Israel. A life of joy. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples in John's Gospel chapter 15, that your joy might be full. And that's what God promised them when they would enter into the land of Canaan. Joy that would be full in their lives. But here are these people who once again were involved. They resumed the work of the house of God. Yet when they neglected, when they ignored the word of God, here was joy removed from them. When we don't have this fruitfulness, we are life when there is no joy. When we live a life that is not pleasing to God, it would rob us of the joy that we can have as His people. We may have many things in this world. We may have the wealth of this world. But the joy that comes for a child of God would not be there if we as God's people don't live a life according to His word. So let me leave it there and go to the discipline of God. In the discipline of God, in the first chapter we saw the devices of His discipline, the dispute of His discipline, the distress in His discipline, the demand in His discipline, and the desire in His discipline. That's the five things we saw that, and we'll just quickly look at the verses that is connected to that, the devices of His discipline. Here we say in verse 17, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labor of your hands. What are the devices He used? In chapter 1, the devices He used was the heaven and the earth and the mountain and the land. Those were the things that He used. Now here it says blasting or blight, or it means a strong, hot wave of wind. And that's what happened. He sent blasting. If you have been to the Gulf countries, you can see sometimes sandstorms. It's so strong and so hot. So here is God sending hot wind to destroy these harvests. Mildew means some fungus type of thing. You know, when you keep these seeds, you know, the whitish thing that comes, it's kind of a fungus, isn't it? In Malayalam, you say, putupoi, you say, right? How does that happen? I was a little astonished when I saw this. It's two different extreme sides. One is hot air, and how do you get this that whitish thing, or what is called as mildew? It is dampness, isn't it? There's moisture, or there is water. It got wet, And then you put it somewhere. What happens after some time? You see this fungus that is there upon it. And say here you have the drought and the heat and the hot wind coming. And on the other side you have whatever they stored and they kept. It's all become whitish, as though moisture was put in there. You see how God deals with them, the devices that He has. And then you see the hail. What is hail? I don't hail only as stones that falls down. It's ice sometimes. Ice falls onto that, like huge stones. What will happen? It will destroy everything. It will destroy houses. It will destroy the cultivation. And here He says, I have sent this. On the one side, there is drought. There is heat. On the other side, He would send hailstorm. That are the devices that He used. We know these are the hosts of the Lord. Now the dispute of His discipline. What is the dispute that He has? Yet He turned not to Me, saith the Lord. The dispute is, they didn't turn back to God. They did not repent and return back to God. There could be disobedience. It could be turning back from the evil ways, cleansed from defilement. And what God says is, yet ye have turned not. See, that yet is something that is more important. Yet, He says, I have done all these things. Still your eyes are not opened. We saw that in chapter 1. All these things have happened to your life. Yet you are continuing as though nothing has happened in your life. Thirdly, the distress in His discipline. What is the distress? Once again, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 measures, they were but 10. When He came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels of the press, they were but 20. What is the distress here? Discipline, but what is the distress here? What we considered in chapter 1. It's not that everything was destroyed and they didn't have to do. We considered chapter 1. Something came, everything went away, it's okay. They had to labor. Right? They went and collected. They went and harvested. Now they brought the seed, where we considered in chapter 1. And the Lord blew, and half many of them went away. And then the balance they brought and put it in their storehouses. Now when they go and see, what has happened to that? Another process to make out wheat and paddy. Paddy they process to make rice. Then when they come to process and they see what happens, they expected from what they received that they will receive 20 measures. But that has turned out to be only 10. The earlier in chapter 1, no percentages are given. Now it says, they got from whatever they left, they got only 50%. And then the wine press. They came out for 50 vessels, but what did they get? 20. How many percentage? Only 40%. That they got 50, and this they got 40. There's a decline in what they are getting. And to get wine, this is something easy. They had to labor for it. You see how the distress in the discipline? When you labor, it's not that God reduces you, the Lord makes you labor for it. And as you labor and you sweat out and you think you will be making something and you don't get that, that's the distress in the discipline that God brings into our lives. Now the demand of His discipline, we don't see anything very specific mentioned there. And the demand is the same that we saw in verse 17, to turn back to God. That's His demand always, to return back. If you have stopped the work, return back to work. If you have gone away from God, stop, turn back, and return back to God. If you have got a life that is defiling, then separate yourself from that. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, where it talks about being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, I will be a father to you, and ye shall be My sons and My daughters. What was that relationship? A greater relationship than the children of Israel? We are the children of God. We are the sons and the daughters of God. Come out from among them. Be clean. And then you will be. Then I will be back to you as a father. And then you shall be My sons and My daughters. Or the personal relationship which God says He has with us would be broken because of our defilement. And when we want to enter back into that relationship, of the blessing of that relationship, then we need to separate ourselves from all defilement and turn back to Him. And fifthly, the desire of His discipline. Verse 19, from this day I will bless you. From this day I will bless you. Did God bless them from that day? God said to them, from today I will bless you. After, till that day, He was dealing in His discipline. And suddenly He says, on that day, from today I'm going to bless you. Look at Ezra chapter 10 and verse 9. It was the ninth month on the 20th day of the month. And all the people sat in the street of the house of God trembling because of this matter. The matter was to do with their defilement. We considered that they had married the people of that land. And then Ezra called them and he was inquiring about that. And the people all feared and trembling. But that was the day of the ninth month of the 20th day. And they say, for the great rain. So the ninth month, on the 20th day, they gathered in one place and they were talking about a great rain. Ninth month, and when is Haggai chapter 2? Ninth month and the 24th day. There is ninth month and the 20th day, they are expecting a great rain. Or in other words, from the time of Haggai, from that day he said, today I will bless you. From this day I will bless you. From that day, rain began to come in its season. And God sent great blessing. And there was rain, abundant rain, so that the land would once again be fertile. And it would once again start to yield its fruits and all its yield. And again in that verse 13 of the same chapter of Ezra. But the people are many and it is a time of much rain. It was the time, it had not yet started raining. They were saying it was the time of much rain. So here is God promising them. The desire of his discipline is, we considered, there is only one desire that God has when he disciplines us. Is that he might be able to. He has called out us in order to bless us. And in order to do that, if we are not in his ways, then he would discipline us so that we will separate ourselves. We'll return back to him. And once we return back to him, there is a blessing that he has promised, which is abundant. That's the beauty of his discipline. While the discipline of God is with much restraint, he doesn't discipline us immediately, does he? The people of Haggai, we saw that the Lord waited for 490 years before he sent them to captivity. Such long patience he has before he would discipline us. But when it comes to blessing, it is immediate. When he says, today I will bless you, indeed he will bless us today. And so, if today we will decide, if today we take a decision that I will walk in your ways, that I will separate myself, all the defilements that are there in my life, I will set it apart and I will follow the Lord. And if you will do that, then surely you can note down the date. And in that day, God says, from this day, I will bless you. Now, in fact, he doesn't wait for their repentance when he says. We don't read there anything about what happened to them after that time. But God says, from this day will I bless you. And we see later on that during that same time, the great blessing of the rain that abundantly comes upon that land. And it follows in the years that follow. So may God help us that we might be in his will, the discipline that he has for us. We might be to heed to his word and return back to the Lord. And God is there to bless us in our life. Then as the song says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. In fact, it is very surprising. We don't see about their repentance there. We don't see that they turn back to the Lord. He says, turn back. And you say his blessing that cometh. Very often his blessings in our life would be surprising. In spite of all our failures that in our life, he still is a God who would bless us. May God bless these thoughts to us.